strong toxic brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update. For, I don't know, what's the date right now? March 7th?
March 7th, yep. The 7th for BB Can 7.
There you go. And it's also not really a live feed update this morning because there were no live feeds last night. But we are here to start the season and talk about last night's premiere. And with me today is Iman. How you doing, Iman?
Hi, Taryn. Hi, everyone else. Good morning. Happy Big Brother Canada 7, day after premiere day. Going to be, I think it's going to be a good season. I'm excited. Everything's, you know, back in swing and here we go.
Yeah. And I'm Taryn Armstrong, just in case you're joining us for the first time. These are the live feed morning updates. So I will be live every morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happened on the Big Brother Canada live feeds. This one will also, you know, the morning update is more important than ever on Big Brother Canada because we're not always going to be live after the show, especially on the Wednesday night episodes, because Survivor is on and then, you know, the Survivor podcasts are on. So we're going to be talking about the episodes more so during the morning updates, the roundtables, stuff like that. Besides, the feeds are more important on the Canadian version because there's a lot of stuff that you're missing on the episodes usually.
Yes, yes. Very, very important. And I was like kind of overwhelmed by all of the stuff that goes on Wednesday night because, you know, you got BB Can, you got Survivor, then you got the challenge, and then you got to catch the podcast afterwards. And I was like, you know what? No, this is it. This is the content that I fucking signed up for. So I'm really happy about it.
Yeah, I have been keeping up with the challenge, all these Big Brother people on it. It's interesting.
It is. I mean, I find myself sort of like I feel like I'm kind of like a very narrative person, so I really wanted to know all of the backstory for all the people that they have on the challenge, but yeah. It's just never going to happen. So I kind of just have to accept it as it is.
Bart, it's like the 33rd season. It's like
I'm not going all the way back.
Not going to happen. So let's talk about Big Brother Canada 7. The premiere was last night, and there were spoilers out for the premiere because it was obviously live, and there were people there for the taping. So information got out. We knew a decent amount of that information. We knew that Damien went in first. This is the first thing we're introduced with. We get to the premiere first is the, you know, big Mission Impossible entry video thing where there's spies and stuff. Then we get to Arissa looking wonderful as always and, and telling us that the fans have voted. And guess what, guys? One person is going to be going into the house more before everyone else. Who is that person going to be? And I imagine everyone is on the edge of their seats. Like, which one of the people that we haven't met yet is going to get into the house? She takes out the envelope. It's Damien. Okay. So let's meet Damien. It's just very weird. I don't understand. There's a lot of stuff that Big Brother Canada does that I don't understand. I don't, like, this was entirely for, I guess, the people that were, like, really, like, this is for the super fans that were watching the interviews and stuff who knew who these people were. But even then, it's like,
It was doubly weird for me because I sort of made the choice to sort of avoid all of the interviews. I kind of just wanted to enter this season very fresh, very new, not really knowing anything about the players beforehand. So it was like, I was like, okay, Damien, like, all right, like, it's very, very strange. I just feel like, you know, as good as BB Can is with all of their production and all of the themes that they make, they're like theme queens over there. I just feel like there's a bunch of people, producers sitting around a table and they're like, yeah, yeah, they're going to be spies. And we're going to have like Mission Impossible-esque music. And we're going to have like them all dressed up in tuxes and gowns. And we're going to have somebody come in, they're going to vote. And then, yeah, and, like, secret room, Leon's Lounge, yeah, sponsorship, woo! It's just like a bunch of like very over-enthusiastic people that, you know, it doesn't always translate that well in all the choices that they make, but I digress. Go Damien.
Yes. So Damien, you're going in early. Whoa, what a surprise. It was Damien. Then he goes in and he's looking around the house forever. This apparently took a really long time. And then he finally finds the room. And I got a little confused at the timeline here. He went into the room. He tried to touch the Vito. It was the Vito, right?
The blood Vito.
But then the alarm went off and he was like, okay, never mind. And then he just sat there and watched and he never ended up actually getting the Vito, right? He just saw that it was there.
He just saw that it was there, knows that it exists. I'm not even sure if he knows that it's called the blood Vito.
I don't think so.
So, I mean, it apparently took him like 20 to 30 minutes to find it in the first place. So, I mean, that kind of made me feel a little bit better about it because when I watched it, I saw him, the way that it's edited, it looks like he immediately went into the back room and then started touching the bottom of things. I was like, that looks like he knows where it is. But if it took him 20 to 30 minutes, as Hamster Watch reported, then maybe, you know, it wasn't as straightforward as it was edited last night.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think you're right. I don't think he knows that it was the blood Vito. I think he maybe just was like, hey, guy, production, I think you got a little something on the, just, you know, right. I don't know if anyone was going to touch that.
I might put a little paint on this Vito here.
Yeah.
What's going on?
So he just sits there and watches. I guess this is really not that much of an advantage, I guess, but because I think they kind of got lucky with how aggressive Adam was. So then we get the first group into the house, and in that group is Adam and Dane. They go in, they do their typical, like, hey, what's up, guys? Whatever. And then Adam and Dane have a conversation in the storage room about, like, hey, I like the look of you. You're a guy. I want guys to align. So, like, usually you don't really get much strategy talk. I don't think this would have had much of an impact if Adam hadn't been talking as aggressively as he was. But even then, he kind of got lucky because the guy watching him was another guy who was like, oh, yeah, I'd want to work with those guys.
Right. I was very, a lot of people sort of shared the same sentiment, like, oh my God, you're playing too hard, too fast. Like, why are you guys talking games so much? And I was like, well, if I were in Dane's position, like, because he sort of walked in afterwards and then Adam immediately starts talking about game. And it's like, well, you can't necessarily say too early because then Adam's going to feel a certain kind of way about you. And now that Adam, well, we'll get to that point, but I think that Dane handled the situation as best as he could because you never want to come off sketch in the beginning. And if somebody's going to talk game with you, you sort of kind of have to just go along with that just to keep your bases clear for the first night.
Yeah. And man, Big Brother Canada continues to prove to the players that you should try to not give them anything. Like, now you are not allowed to go into the house and celebrate that you're finally in the Big Brother house to show that you're a fan. Oh, yes, I'm finally here. Nope, that's no good. That's going to expose you. Don't talk to the cameras either. That's dangerous. Don't go in and be like, oh, man, I'm finally here. Getting ready to do my strategy now. Uh-oh, no good. Don't talk to the cameras. Don't do anything.
And, you know, like, so many people were tweeting last night, like, how could they not know this? Like, production is always playing you guys. And I'm like, I still would have spilled all the tea in those interviews. I would have been in all those precasts. I would have, like, from beginning to end, I would have been spilling everything. So maybe it just goes to show that as much as a super fan as you can be for the show, you don't know what it's like until you're in the situation. Because I know that I would have been screwed. I'd have been screwed because they would have known everything. So I don't blame them. I feel bad for them. And the fact that some of these secrets were, you know, like, I like roses and puppies. And the others were like, I plan on stabbing somebody in the back the first night. It's like, damn, like, these are not equal.
Yeah.
There's no checks and balances here. What the hell's going on?
Yeah. So we get the rest of the house guests in. Damien is introduced in the final group. I was also worried for Damien in that final group because they cut to the audience who were like snickering when Damien was introduced. Like, haha, this is the second time we're seeing him. And I was like, how do they trust this audience to not give this away? What a big mistake that would be if just one person in the audience was like, oh, hey, Damien.
Yeah, that
nice to see you again.
That they put a lot of trust. And, you know, Big Brother Canada crowds can be bloodthirsty. You know, like, I mean, I just keep thinking about the whole double eviction with like Annetta. Like, I have never heard cheers from like that from an audience in Big Brother in a very long time. So, like, they put a lot of trust in these people. But I'm sure if you're a fan and you want to be in the audience, you're going to try and follow all the rules. So I'm glad that they did. I'm glad that no one said anything, and let's keep the game as pure as possible.
Let me just say, if I'm standing there on that stage and people are being introduced, I am watching the audience like a hawk, because I'm assuming that they have watched the interviews and they may know more than I do. And if they have any kind of reaction, I'm going to try to read it as much as possible.
You know, there you go. That's, yes, yes. Like, my thoughts exactly. I mean, the game never, it starts from casting all the way up into the final two. It never stops. And for some people, it's still going. I mean, check BB20 Twitter right now. Like, you know, it's a lifelong game. When you're never out once you're in.
So then everyone's in the house now, and that's when they're going to introduce themselves. There's lots of lying going on. I think the most egregious one is Kaylin. She did go ahead with, "I'm 29 years old and I don't have a family and I'm not a psychic." She is going full Derek Levasseur. Like, I am an entirely different person. And she's going further than Derek Levasseur. I'm an entirely different person. I'm 13 years younger than I really am, and my family doesn't exist.
Well, you know, the age thing didn't necessarily bother me that much, because I mean, the old adage, black don't crack. So like, I probably wouldn't have second guessed. I know a lot of younger people that are of a color that look older and they're not, and vice versa. So it's like, it's a gray area for me. But to be honest, if I were her, I would have used the psychic thing to my advantage. Because we just got off of BB20. We just saw how Caitlyn did. People automatically are going to, you know, think of Caitlyn when you say that. So to me, it seems like you might not be that much of a threat, because it turned out like Caitlyn's game sort of tanked. So I would have been like, yeah, like I do readings. Like, and then you have people on your own, you know, home season. Like, what was her name? Season one. A Nick. Like, she was also somebody that was sort of like about stages and feeling the energy and readings, and that's fine. No shade to that, but those types of players never really seem to do well. So if anything to make these people think that I'm ditzy, I'm doing it.
Yeah, and like, listen, nobody believes, like, nobody's gonna be like, she's a psychic? Oh no. She's right. We need to get her out. She knows all of our secrets. She knows what's gonna happen. Like, no, like, even people who believe in psychics don't think it works that way, right? Like,
maybe she actually is psychic and she knew it was going to be revealed. And, you know, hey, it's mystical.
Yeah, maybe. But it's the combination of all of these things. The age, I really feel like 29 was a stretch. I feel like 30s would have been fine and that would have been totally believable. Then her occupation being different, and then also her family not existing. Like, what are you gonna talk about? Like, oh yeah, here are my 29-year-old things that I like to do. Like, hello fellow kids. Like, it's just you need to be able to be yourself a little bit in there.
I mean, yeah, you could have at least had a family. It didn't have to be like the kids didn't have to be like 7 or whatever. You could have had the kids be, you know, 3 and 4. You just had them just starting out, you know. If anything, that's more endearing. Like, you're a new mom, you got these babies at home and a man taking care of them. Like, people like that stuff.
Yeah.
You know? So.
So then we also got Eddie saying that he was a social media manager. Not a manager. I'm not that important. A social media manager. Don't think I make money or that I'm smart. And then, of course, Dane is going to pop his teeth out, and Chelsea is going to embody my reaction to any time Dane takes his teeth out by just being like, Dane, no.
Yeah, that's going to be, how many times are we going to do that this season? I'm already a little over it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad that he's comfortable. I'm glad that he has no shame. I'm sure it probably took a while for him to get to that point, and that's great. But that being said, either keep him in or keep him out. I don't need to see it over and over again. Like, he's going to lose them. That's what's going to happen. He's going to end up losing them in that house, and then it's going to be disgusting. So just keep them in.
I've been told this is a Canadian thing, that, like, Canadians are a lot more used to lack of teeth, because, like, the Canadian would just see Dane and be like, oh, yeah, hockey player. Totally cool.
Canadians are used to lack of teeth. That is...
Hey, I'm just repeating what I've been told by Canadians.
All right, well, okay. Any Canadians in the chat? Can we verify that?
So then we get the secret reveal. They Arissa is going to call everyone to the living room, and Chelsea's going to take a while to get there. That was a funny thing. And then she's going to reveal, so we asked you pre-season, what's one thing you don't want people to know about you in the season? And immediately people like Eddie and Kaylin were like, oh no. Oh no. And so they start revealing these secrets. And, you know, I really should have got a list of the secrets, but you were totally right earlier, Amon. These are dramatically different in severity here. Some of them I tweeted out are like in the job interview when you're like, what's your biggest weakness? Oh, my biggest weakness? Probably that I'm too hard of a worker. I just work too hard and I care too much about work and work things. It's like, oh, what's my biggest secret? I don't really know the show very well. Oh man, poor me. I'm pretty sure that was like Maki and was it Damien who said that too?
Yeah, like I've only seen a couple of seasons. Kaylin's, of course, was that she does readings and that she's not 20. I'm not sure. I don't remember if she mentioned her age, her actual age. Kira, the non-binary Kira, theirs was something along the lines of like, I'm going to, being a comp beast in the end, going to sleep throughout the, you know, the first half of the game. And others that I don't even care to remember were things like you just said before, like I'm sensitive, or I'm, you know, I don't know the game that well. Or it's, to me, I'm like, I'm wondering, okay, is it an editing thing? I'm trying to be an optimistic about the situation. Maybe they like revealed two or three things about each person and they only showed certain parts of each, and that's like the edited cut that we got. Or maybe it's just what exactly, because we know how BB can is with editing, you know.
So I thought about that, but then I remembered that, you know, there were spoilers about this and these match up with the things that we were told, so I think it was pretty accurate to what the people in the premiere audience saw. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is the real thing. Okay, so I got the list up. This is a comment on Reddit from Big Brother Rocks, who has the list of it here. Anthony said, haven't watched that many seasons. That's great one. Works okay. Very well for him.
Yes.
Chelsea says, I have done pageants and I come from that world.
Lame.
Fine. Doesn't matter. Nobody cares. Damien, I've played hockey on a professional level. Nah. It's like, makes him seem more threatening, but he already seems like a fairly physical guy. It's not that big of a deal, but not the best thing. That's like a lukewarm kind of secret. Yeah. Dane, I have a soft spot to me. That is the best secret ever. But then he follows it up with, I want house guests to think that I'm a typical meathead jock. And so that kind of gives some of his main strategy for the entire game away. But I feel like he can probably get through it. I feel like it might not hurt.
Yeah, him too like much. I feel like that's such a stock answer for yeah. So many players. Whatever.
And if you're smart enough, you can just be like, "Well, yeah, of course. I'm telling, you know, casting and production that I'm more than just a meathead jock because that's going to get them to want me on the show more." I feel like that's going to be the main excuse with all of this. And that's, you know, people are talking about like, oh, don't tell production anything. You still need to get cast. That's the catch 22 of this is that you need right. to be crazy in your stuff, like to be a heightened version of yourself in order to be cast, but then they're gonna reveal that stuff to your fellow house guests.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like I would never have, even if it was in the back of my mind, I'm not gonna sit here and like not, you know, be lukewarm and not say anything. Like that's boring. Come on.
So I think my advice then becomes be the heightened version of yourself. If anything, be a little more crazy and then be like, yeah, I mean, you've been talking to me for a few hours now. That's not really who I am. That was just to get cast on the show. And I was playing up the character. And, you know, in real life, I'm a lot more chill. And I was, you know, making all that stuff up. I feel like that's the best you can do at this point.
Right. I mean, if anything, I wonder what this will do to production in terms of casting in the future. It's like now you have all these people that are either going to be super, 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 super into it or very like contrived and giving you answers that they think that you want to hear. Like it seems kind of like a messy job, but
Well, also, just like, don't be too, I mean, here's the problem, right? Is you think like, well, as long as I don't have a camera on me, as long as it's, I'm like, these people were already cast, probably they had a camera on them. Like they didn't need to expose these secrets, but I'm willing to bet that production, if they are not liking their answers, are going to go, okay, so this one, we're going to move over to the have to get voted into the season category. So you can't even take anything for granted once you're cast. You always need to be giving them the right stuff. I wonder if maybe Corey and Holly, maybe they had the worst secrets. And so they're like, well, they don't need to be in the house when the secrets are revealed. we'll give them the vote. Anyway, Samantha plans on throwing competitions. That's a bad secret. That's a real bad secret. It gives your entire strat, like, the entire point of throwing competitions is that people don't know that you're throwing competitions. Right. So
it brings
now,
into question every comp she ever plays in.
And now, if she loses competitions without even throwing them, people are going to assume that she's throwing them. This is a very bad thing to have happen. Nobody will want her on in an alliance because she's not going to be winning competitions for them. Very, very bad. Maki, I've only watched one full season of Big Brother. That's fits perfectly. That's very beneficial to Maki. Eddie, my real job is cryptocurrency developer. And that's no good because he just lied about that.
Right. But I feel like that's less damning because, you know, the game ones are more, you know, those are the ones that are strategy. It's like, shit, like now I have to rearrange. Like, lying about your occupation, like, who doesn't at this point?
Right. Basically, you know, Eddie's strategy going in was, I want to pretend that I'm dumb when I'm really smart. And then this kind of gives away that he was lying about having a, I guess, what he considers a dumber job than his cryptocurrency job. But I feel like the way to get around this is, I'm a really dumb, smart person. And I thought that I could get away with a lie like that. How dumb am I? So, you know, if he's able to do that, I feel like he'll be fine. Kira, this is KW Kira, considers herself a great liar. Oof, that's a bad one.
Yeah, I don't know how to circumvent that because it just like you really create a problem for yourself because, I mean, it's similar to the throwing competitions. Like, when do I know that you were telling me the truth? When do I know that you're trying to game me? I feel like the only way to get out of some of these is for them all to come together as a group and say, like, we are going to disregard everything that was said in all of those videos, even though they're probably not going to. Like, even if they do that, they're going to be like, you know, well, she said that she's a good liar, so she's got to go. Like, especially in the first week when you're looking for any excuse to get rid of somebody, like, this is, you offered it up on a silver platter. This is the perfect excuse.
Mm-hmm. It's not good. And yeah, it's another thing where it's like, anytime you're having a conversation with Kira, you're just going to be like, she said she was a great liar. Yeah. I know she's trying to lie in the house.
Even if you actually believe that she's not lying, but it fits your game better to believe that she is lying, you're going to go ahead and do that. Like, This is interesting. This adds an entire new layer of like BS that they have to sift through, and I'm kind of here for it.
It's a great way to discredit her. Anytime that like she says something, if she's like, oh, you know, hey Adam, you know, Damien was talking about you. Damien can be like, oh no, remember Kira's a liar. She said she wanted to lie.
She said she was a good liar. Do you remember that night one?
Adam works in the oil field and makes a lot of money. I feel like it's probably not a big deal. If anything, it really just goes toward the overall persona that I feel like Adam has, which is this sort of, yeah, I make good money. What about it? But I feel like it's like nobody really cares. Nobody's gonna
I feel like if he were to make it to the end of the game, then it could be a little bit of a problem. Because, I mean, Celebrity Big Brother is an entirely different monster. But there have been conversations before about, you know, when players talk about their actual lives, like, and how much, you know, oh, I'll be okay after this. It'll be okay. Like, some people, you know, are willing to sacrifice them in the end if they know that if they evict them, they have a good life out of here. So maybe in the end, if he makes it that far, we'll see.
Yeah, Celebrity Big Brother had more talk about who needed the money than any of the last five seasons combined.
Yeah.
Which is atrocious. We had the other Kira saying, I'm going to be a comp beast later on. In the beginning, they can't know how much of a comp beast I am, but I'm going to be one later on. That's a pretty bad one.
My favorite thing about that was that, like, after it came on, she was like, I'm really not a comp beast, you guys. I'm like, you need to wait. Just don't add any more BS. Just stop talking. Wait. Have a conversation afterwards.
Really double down, like, but I'm really not a comp beast, just so you know.
Oh, girl.
So then Steph has an undergrad in psychology. This is not a great one, especially the way that Steph wanted to play the game was kind of like secret, smart person.
Didn't again, who just won have a psychology?
Exactly.
Degree?
I feel like there were already these sort of Paris comparisons, and now that's really, I think, going to help sell those. But, you know, it's again the sort of thing where she can, as long as she can play it up well enough, I think she'll be fine. I think that your overall persona matters more than these jobs anyway, jobs or degrees or whatever. And really, these kinds of lies aren't necessary in the first place. I really feel that's true. So I think she'll be all right. Laura said, I'm actually a very sensitive person. That's probably the best one.
Yeah. I mean, okay. I mean, everybody, you know, gets reduced to heightened sensitivity in that house. So I think you will be amongst friends, girl. I think you'll be okay.
Mark doesn't want the house guests to know much about his religious backstory. That's another really good one, actually, because it doesn't talk to anything in the game, and it's going to get people to be curious about him and ask him personal questions, at which point he can open up and tell them things. And I think that's actually, again, this is probably one of the best ones of all of them, because it provokes intimate discussion about personal lives.
Right. I mean, I feel like it's probably something that would have come up anyway. You know, I mean, I feel like eventually at some point, like once you're in the game and you're into the routine of waiting for comps to start and talking to people and getting to know everybody, like that's going to come up eventually about how your dad or whoever is a rabbi and you sort of had a departure from that life. And this is like me. It's like one of the first of many things that I'm trying out of this, you know, post-religious life. So, I mean, yeah, if anything, it just helps them. It just helps ease him into those kinds of conversations. So.
Yeah, and I think there's a relatability to the insecurity of, I have a weird past and I'm afraid that I'm not going to fit in if you know about it. And that kind of provokes people to be like, oh, no, it's like, we want you to fit in. As opposed to, I feel like, based on the interviews that I saw with Mark, how he might have fit in otherwise, right, which he still might, who knows. And then Kaylin, of course, doesn't want the house guests to know she does readings. And I feel like, again, this probably doesn't matter that much apart from the fact that she's caught in a lie. And I feel like it's definitely, if there was any chance she was going to get away with 29, I feel like this really drowned that chance, because they're already now thinking, well, she lied about her job. She doesn't look 29 to me. She's probably also lying about her age. What else is she lying about?
Right. Yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame. I would have just loved, like I said before, I would have just loved for her to just come in there and be like, yeah, like sunshine, feel the breezes, clink, clink. Like I would have been all about that, but. You know, if that's how you want to play it, girl, that's how you want to play it.
Yeah. So there, those were the secrets. And, you know, I tweeted this out, like, the game of Big Brother is fundamentally different if they do this in Big Brother US. Think about Big Brother 16. That entire season is fundamentally changed. On day one, they go, what's something I don't want the house guests to know? That I'm a cop.
Oh,
that I was an undercover detective.
Oh, I would have loved that. Now, you know how different that season would have been?
So different.
Oh my God. I'm Ariana Grande's brother?
Like, yeah. Well, no. I think his secret would have been, I'm a social media mogul.
Yeah, along with that. I would say Big Brother US, like, take note, but we've been telling them to do that since BBCan 1. And
I don't know. For me, I froze a little bit, but for me, I feel like we would have missed the gameplay, the potential of the gameplay of Derek Levasseur. I would have been a little disappointed if he was just kind of like cut off at the knees before he could ever really play. Personally, you know, and if we ever do an All-Stars, you know, I think we'll be happy to have seen Derek do what he did.
I mean, true. And I honestly feel like at that level of caliber that he had expressed throughout the entire season, I feel like if there was anyone that would have been able to circumvent that, it would have been him. He probably would have had to play a more aggressive game. But I do think that he probably would have still found that spot in the season where he could have just sunk back into the shadows. Everybody's going after each other. Like it would have been interesting.
I'll hold on to the idea that that they should have just gotten rid of the Battle of the Block, and then that would have made the season a lot more exciting.
Yeah.
I also tweeted out about Bronte, her secret mathematician secret that would have been voided. We wouldn't have gotten that moment.
Oh my God. The fact that she had a whole tribunal on the HOH bed with Bridget and Natalie. Like, I just feel like nobody knows me. I like numbers. I have never laughed so hard at anything in my life. I was like, are you kidding me, girl? Are you kidding me? Okay. Okay.
People like Tyler probably would have. I'm a super fan. I don't want people to know that. Josh, I'm a super fan. I don't want people to know. Like there, Johnny Mack even was somebody who managed to hide the fact that he was a super fan for the whole season. There are just a lot of people go in with secrets like this, and entire seasons would be fundamentally different if they did these sort of twists or secret reveals. And so we have no idea. Maybe Kaylin would have been Derek Levasseur part two, but we'll never know.
Somebody said BBOTT Shelby being a lawyer.
Yeah, there you go. So then we get, I believe the HOH competition was next. It was a cool competition. Reminded me of the Final Five veto in Big Brother Canada 5. Just like way cooler. Mm-hmm. I think they were at like using like flamingos to try and like get the key or whatever.
Yeah, and
Big Brother 5.
I had a question about this comp. Like, was it in the rules that they had to use the spoon?
I don't know.
Because I just saw all of them using. I was like, why just use your hands? But maybe they weren't allowed to.
Who knows? But yes, first they have to break out of the cage thing, and then they have to dig. It was very I talked about Big Brother 5, but it's very reminiscent of a Survivor competition. Obviously Survivor has done this exact thing multiple times, and so then they had to dig and get under the wall, and Adam is going to be our first HOH in the draft. I talked about how I felt like Adam was going to go in. He was going to do well at first, form a big alliance of bros and extra people, and then everyone was going to hate him, and he was going to have some sort of downfall, and he is just perfectly doing everything that he is now one HOH. He is 100% going to create a big alliance with his HOH. He is going to seem like the top dog for this week, and then at some point in the future, I think very near future, he is going to have some sort of massive downfall. So that'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like now that everybody is on edge because of those reveals, everybody felt like they had to win. So if there was any hope of him ever trying to fall back, it was never going to happen. And honestly, if you were thinking a little bit more critically, I mean, hindsight is always 20/20, but like, as we just discussed, his secret was a little bit less damning than the others. I feel like it was like, people don't really care about that. People are more focused on Kira lying about being a compi. It's probably most focused about Kaylin lying about her age. Like, there are so many other people that are in front of you that you could have easily not won this competition, still formed a big alliance, and then try and control it that way. Because then you seem a little bit less threatening. But people, you know, once you're in that house, all bets are off.
So. Yes. And so another sort of twist of the week is that there's no veto for the first week of the game. And this is interesting. I'm kind of two minds about it. I think I actually kind of like it. There are downsides, but I think there are also positives to it. No veto in the first week. Usually in the first week, things change, right? So Adam's going to make his nominations probably the day after he wins HOH or whatever it is. And that's really, that's very first impression-y, right? Like that's like, well, I think I like these people. I think these people are maybe on the out. So I'm just going to throw these two people up because they'll make the least amount of waves and so on and so forth. And then usually it's like by the midpoint of the week, by towards the end of the week, you have a better idea of where people stand. Things have happened, drama's happened, and maybe you want to use the veto and take out a different target. Maybe you have a better idea of who you actually want to go home. And so I think having the veto is kind of good in that regard, because I feel like you might kind of just get screwed on first impressions if you have to go up right away and then you have no chance of saving yourself. But on the other hand, maybe that can be a good thing as well, because it means that if drama does happen, there's nothing that the HOH can do about it. And that drama is going to persist into the following week, no matter what happens, because they've already nominated these two people. And so I'm actually, you know, I think it could go either way here.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. Like, you want to be able to capitalize on any sort of chaos that can be created in that house. And if there's a way to allow that chaos to sort of, you know, disseminate into the rest of the game, yeah, because then it's essentially another week where you're like allowed to just chill. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if I would have been one to stir the pot after I found out that I wasn't going to be on the block, but it's definitely a viable strategy.
Yeah. I think it is something that in a weird way, it might sound weird, but I do think it limits the HOH's power to not have a veto. Because you kind of think, oh, it's good for the nominees because they get a veto, they can save themselves. But actually it prevents the HOH from having an ability to change their mind. And it also limits their power in the sense that once they make their nominations, they become irrelevant for the rest of the week. Yep. It limits the amount of time that they have influence over the game, that they can use their position to leverage that power in the game. So,
and they have to make sure that they're going to be on the right. I mean, they don't vote, but make sure that they're on the right side of the vote. Like if you're like dead set on getting so-and-so out, but the rest of the house is like, no, and you're making it vocal that you're going to be upset if this person doesn't go home, there's nothing you can do to change that. Like there's no veto. There's nothing. Like you're just plainly admitting to them, like there's a line here. And next week, if you guys don't do what I want you to do, next week is going to be a problem. And you can't even be HOH again. So it can be a bit of a bind.
I think the right way to play this is try to use the power as much as possible to leverage and get yourself into some sort of alliance. Try not to be the creator of it. Just try to get a bunch of people together. And eventually somebody's going to suggest it because they don't want you to nominate them. And they're going to be like, well, we should be in an alliance. And get yourself involved in some kind of alliance. Then just throw up two people with the excuse of like, hey, I'm sorry. You know, you two were not part of the group that succeeded in the first part of the HOH. And, you know, you're not, you know, I didn't really get a chance to talk to you. I'm sorry. And then 3 days later, be like, oh man, I really regret putting you guys up. I'm so sorry. I should have done something else. And just kind of play the like, oh man, what a terrible HOH I was. I threw up these two people and wow, man. And just kind of fade back into the background. I feel like that's probably the best way to play this with no veto.
That's it. That's, you know, I mean, at the beginning of every season, I always feel like I'm in the minority because it doesn't matter who it is. Whoever wins the first HOH, immediately Twitter is like, they're stupid. How could they do that? And I'm like, I would want the first HOH because it's just so, like, all you got to do is win. You're safe. Then everybody comes to you because nobody wants to go on the block. And you just throw up anybody that you want to. Whoever's, like, not jabbing with the house, they go home. You go back to sleep next week. Like it's so clear to me, but I mean,
I think not having a veto helps you if that's your strategy. If you want to be a more active first HOH, a more aggressive first HOH, I think it hurts you because it limits your power. But limiting your power is good if you just want to win, sneak into some sort of group, and then fade into the background. Then I think this is perfect for you if you know how to play it. And I think that Adam is the exactly wrong person to to get this kind of HOH.
He will, even in a situation where it's probably tailored more towards that sort of game, he will not take any of those cues at all. He won't.
Yeah.
But brilliant TV, Team Fun Feeds.
So we'll see how the first this first week plays out with no veto. I will say also I prefer this to a night one eviction or whatever. If this is what they need to do to, you know, stop whatever they usually do from happening, yeah. I'm fine with that. I still would even prefer not to have somebody go home as early as tonight, Thursday night, the second episode, because I still feel like I don't. And this is, I think, the biggest problem I had with the premiere and the season so far is that I feel like I still don't really know who these people are. And so I don't care who goes in first. I don't care which of the two people come into the house, and I don't care who goes home tomorrow because I still don't know them, you know? So I would like to get to know these people before the things happen that, you know, that I should care about.
Yeah, I mean, BB20 was, the first week was long. It was, it sort of got annoying a bit, but it was great because we got so much feed time with them. We really got to see how everybody's minds worked and what, you know, what kind of relationships had formed. You got a chance to sort of choose the people that you wanted to root for and the people that you wanted to root against, so that that first eviction was such a payoff for everyone, because it's like, is my side going to win or is the other side going to win? So I don't know why Big Brother Canada likes to, it's like you can never have too much of a good thing. It's like they give us everything they want in, like, in terms of like production value and making everything look cool, and the cast is always so diverse and interesting, but then you get rid of them so soon. It's like, yeah, all right, well.
And the first week is always so interesting because you're learning who these people are, and there's usually a lot of fluidity to the gameplay and everything that's going on. And, you know, we always miss that in Big Brother Canada, and then you barely even care. Like, Dimitri could have gone home week one in season five, and yeah, nobody would have cared. Yeah. He would have just been lost to the history of Big Brother Canada, and that we would have never even seen him on the feeds.
Probably the whole Aika being the queen that she is might not have even happened. So it's like they really cut people off at the knees. Yeah. At the beginning of the season. It's really sad.
So final twist of the night is that we're having Gate Crashers Part 2, and there is going to be a fan vote for who is going to enter the house. Another female house guest, either Corey or Holly. Who is it going to be? Find out tomorrow night. You have 24 hours to vote. Here's a 30-second clip of each of them, and now go vote. And I just was hit with a resounding, I don't care. I don't know who these people are. One of them's going to go in. I do not care in the slightest which one of them it is. I know Rob has a vested interest because one of them is on his draft board.
So, because I saw some people, I think Melissa tweeted something out, and a few other people were like, well, based off of what we've seen, we're going to vote Corey, right? And I was like, based off of what did you see? Like, did I miss something? Was there something that she said in the video that I was like, that went over my head? I'm not sure.
I mean, you grab onto anything you can, I guess. I posted a poll out earlier this morning. I said, who do you want to enter the Big Brother Canada 7 house? Corey, Holly, or I don't really care. And with a resounding 60% of the vote, I don't really care. Okay. There's people, because who are these people? I don't know why they think why this is a viewer vote. I don't understand the point of it. I don't get it.
Even, one thing I like about Damien is that he really didn't give the producers what I think the producers wanted them. Because like when Arisa was like, they voted you to go into the house first, he's like, thanks, guys. And then when he finally gets inside the Leon's lounge, he's just sitting around just like, yeah, there's a veto. Oh, can't touch the veto. Okay, let me just sit down. Like, because like there's no precursor. There's no pretext to this. So I don't know.
Yes. South in the chat points out that this is something that I learned last night as well. Paris was on YouTube yesterday, Paris, the winner of the previous season of Big Brother Canada, saying that she would endorse Holly because she knows some things that she can't tell us, but that Holly would bring some drama that she can't tell us why yet, but that there were some things that were overlooked and that Holly would cause some drama. So take that for what you will.
Okay. All right, Paris. Rob said, go Corey, vote Canadians. Melissa is a gem.
Yeah, I believe Rob has Corey in the draft. So Rob is obviously going to want to discredit Paris.
All right. Well, I normally I would like be getting all the VPNs in the world to figure out how to be Canadian for a day and vote, but I'm not doing it this time. Honestly, I'm gonna let the Canadians do what they want to do. I mean, America doesn't know how to vote anyway, so
yeah. It's really just like one of them's gonna come in, one of them's not. It's like even with the Big Brother Canada 2 twist when Allison came in, there was at least some vested interest there because we were seeing them on the feeds. They had a feed dedicated to them, and we saw who they were, and they were very different. And so it felt like, oh, like I want Allison to go in. She's the fan. She's invested. She seems cool. And you know, it gave us something. But to just give us the 30-second clip and then, hey, you got 24 hours. I don't understand the point.
I mean, we could go on and on about it, but it just goes back to that point. Like, as a fan of the show, to get through casting it and then to probably make it, they let you know that you're on the cast and they're like, oh, you're kind of going to be like an alternate position. So you're going to have a fan vote for you. And then to be wishing and hoping that 30 seconds is enough. Like, after already going through that whole process, and then to come out on stage, which is probably going to do, and to then have to walk back off because you didn't get the vote based off of a 30-second clip. It's just, and then to probably know that you're never, ever going to get another chance after that. It just sucks. Like, I don't know why they do that. Like, it doesn't even, if we had known them, then maybe, yeah, like, there's a bit of, like, schadenfreude that some people would be able to, you know, sort of get something out of. But I just feel bad either way because you're.
Yeah, no, you're right. And like, I've been focused on, like, I don't understand the TV point of this, but if you look at the emotional component, it's really mean. Like,
yeah.
I hope that these aren't big fans of the show because, you know, it's like, we know Kirsten. That was brutal. Yeah. Like, trying to get on the show for years, you finally do it, and if you finally made it, and then the reason you're denied is that the audience said, now we like the other person better, and now you can never, ever be on the show ever again.
And it's like, here's the thing about, because we hear a lot, it's an ongoing discussion online, it's not a secret, about like how people like to tell casting how to do their job. They like to do that. And it's always a quick rebuttal in that pretty much like, I know what I'm doing. You guys just enjoy the show. And that's fine. I completely agree with that. I am not in casting. I do not know how it works. I don't know. I agree. Like, let them do their jobs. But then you sort of like you let us do your job for you. Why? I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me. Like, if you already have somebody in mind, just put them in the house. And if you kind of wanted to see what the other person was bringing, call them back next season.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, even if they put Kirsten in this vote, like, give her another chance to get voted in, do something. If you're interested, I do think that the extended interviews have been released for Corey and Holly. Personally, I just don't care. So I'm just going to let whoever that goes in, and we'll see what they're like when they're on the show.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, that's basically all we had with the premiere. Tonight, we're going to have our first eviction. We're going to see Adam name his nominees, and then we're going to see, I imagine, some campaigning, some alliances forming, some Brigade 2.0s forming, and then our first eviction. And I imagine after the eviction, we're going to see Holly or Corey move in to the house, and it's going to be like, oh, we've done this 3 times before. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, it's going to be it'll just be an introduction of,
oh, we just got called up from the audience. We just had our bags packed and everything.
Yeah. Okay, girl. All right. I mean, as long as we're expecting it. You
know, yeah. We can't too much. And then, as Brianna points out in the chat, the best part of the night tonight will be after the episode. I don't know the exact timing on this, but the live feeds will finally start, and the real show will begin. And tomorrow morning, we'll be back at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens on the Big Brother Canada 7 live feeds tonight. So we will discover, you know, what's going on. We'll have an HOH competition that will definitely not be on the episode because Canada never does that. So we're going to probably learn who the HOH is. We're going to learn, you know, what state the house is in. And hopefully it'll be a good update tomorrow. You know, we don't usually get all of the information the very first day, but it's a fun time trying to, you know, be detective and be like, okay, so these people were talking. I wonder if they're in an alliance. Yeah. We'll have some fun tomorrow.
Yeah, that'll be cool. Assuming that they don't cut the freaking feeds like five times all night long.
Nikki in the chat points out, you're totally right to point this out, Nikki. There, I forgot about the secret mission. I forgot. This is another aspect. So if having to get voted in and going into the game a week late was not enough, they also have to complete a secret. The person that gets voted in has to complete a secret mission in order to stay in the game. And if they don't complete it, then they will be immediately eliminated, Caitlyn style. So they basically, they're going to have to put together some kind of puzzle, probably some sort of spy puzzle. And if they don't do it, I imagine they learned from Big Brother US's mistakes and they are not going to make it possible for them to lose. But hey, we never thought that Caitlyn's puzzle was possible to lose. So, you know.
And I don't know. If they were honestly afraid of that, why don't you just let them get voted in and stay there?
Can you imagine getting, let's say, because in my poll, Corey is ahead of Holly, 28% to 11%. But that just might be Corey is first in the poll, Holly is second. Because, again, I think most people don't care. But let's say Corey gets voted in, right? And so you're Holly standing there. Sorry, you were not voted in. Your dreams are dashed. You were never going to be on the show. Now watch as Corey just completely fails something that you would have done easily, and now she is also not going to be in the house.
Oh my god. You know, it's like, are you guys just going to do this every season, and then like Big Brother Canada season 15 is just going to be all the people that didn't make it on the show? Is that what this is all about?
Yeah.
That's the only reason that I can think that you guys are doing this. That's it.
There's a lot to do in this episode unless they're saving the mission for the next episode on Sunday. Hopefully they do, because I don't want to skip over an entire week's worth of content in like 20 minutes, because then they have to do the live eviction and then the house vote in and then the mission. The first week again, the best week of the entire game, cut down to 20 minutes. That would be unfortunate. Hopefully we'll get a little more and something a little more fun and interesting for tonight's episode. And we will be live after the episode to recap what happens and get ready for the live feeds. So tune in for that as well.
Yes, another season of Big Brother Canada, RHEP's back in swing, morning updates, live feed outages, fan outrage. It's just going to be a good season. I'm excited.
Yes. If this is your first Big Brother Canada season, there's a lot to be excited about. It's the kind of thing, though, you just have to look the other way at certain things, like all this voting in stuff. You just have to be like, all right, I'm just going to ignore this and focus on, oh, this cast looks cool, right, guys?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I mean, if you're a super fan, then you're always willing to. I mean, you complain and then you get over it, because I mean, it's Big Brother.
Yeah, and don't take our complaints seriously. You know, we get stuff to talk about.
We only complain because we love the show so much. If we didn't care, then we wouldn't complain. We wouldn't care. Yeah, we wouldn't care. It's simple as that.
We're here. We're talking about. We just talked about this hour long show for an hour.
Yeah,
because we love it, and we're just giving our thoughts. Giving our thoughts. All right. Thank you, everyone, for hanging out with us this morning. Like I said, we'll be live tonight after the live episode of Big Brother Canada 7 to talk about the eviction. And then tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern, I will be back here in the morning to update you on everything that happens on the Big Brother Canada 7 live feeds. Let's go. Let's get ready for hopefully what will be a wonderful season of Big Brother Canada. All right. You can find me on Twitter at @ArmstrongTaren. You can find Amon at @AmonAdwin. And yep. I think that's all we've got for you. So thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.